The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Harden the steal and the dunk.
Oh, he missed it!
No, that
ball went
that was
through.
Good, yeah.
It came out.
Wait a minute. I was just checking it out.
Oh, remember the Manu play in New York a few years ago? I mean, this goes through, yeah. That was good.
What was the explanation that you got from Russ on that?
How long does the after shows go? I have no idea. I heard that they said that the ball hit James and went back through, so it was goaltending on James. So I said, I challenged that. Then I didn't get a response. Then another guy said, it wasn't goaltending, just went out of bounds on us. And I said, well, I challenged that. And they go, can't do that. I don't know. I didn't get an explanation. And I got nothing. I can't tell you.
You can challenge goaltending.
You can challenge goaltending, out of bounds. You can challenge all that. It is what it is.
Tim McMahon joins us now on SportsCenter. He covered the game in San Antonio. So, Tim, the NBA has already admitted it was a mistake. So what recourse do the Rockets have?
Well, the Rockets are prepared to file a protest, but they're optimistic that that won't be necessary. Rocket sources tell me that they are optimistic that the league office will take action, either by awarding them the win, since they technically did outscore the Spurs in regulation, or order that the game be replayed with Harden's dunk counting and replay the final 7 minutes and 50 seconds.
Sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
So what are the odds either one of those things happens? I don't like them at all. Let's do this. So what are the odds Wednesday on the Blitz?
Shall we begin?
Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for Wednesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Power, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the boss, Aaron Rabel, the Voldemort. I'm just going to change it around whenever I want. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN. Your number, 713-780-3776. You can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, send a message. If Aaron likes it, he'll read it, and it makes him feel important. So help him out. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real, at Aaron is blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show. You know the number for that. And you can also watch us on the Twitch channel. So just jump right on there. And it's a Wednesday where we do things just a little bit differently. When you call, text, tweet, Twitch, send a Raven, whatever you do, put odds on it. What are the odds the Rockets are kind of silly to think that this game's going to get replayed or overturned?
It seems like that's not something the NBA does ever. So I'm going to go with there's a low chance of that happening.
They seem confident. That's what
Well, hey, confidence that wins championships.
Does it?
No. No, it doesn't.
It doesn't hurt to have it if you're going to win a championship.
Listen, they got the I think it's ridiculous that they want to replay the game.
Right.
That's why we play 82 freaking regular season games. And until there's robots, you're going to have mistakes made. Mistakes get made in every single game. Officiating mistakes are made every game. You can't go back and redo every game that has an officiating mistake because we don't have time for that. I mean, we barely have time to play the freaking 82 games that we've got to play.
Well, and to assume that the game would have finished 2 points different is kind of silly. With that much time left, the strategy changes, everything changes.
Yeah.
So you can't really say, oh, well, they should have won, so here.
I mean...
If it had been the last play of regulation, maybe.
The weird thing is, they're right. I mean, the call was wrong, and it sucks. But, I mean, man, how deep are we going to fix that? I just can't imagine.
How about you just not blow the big lead?
Yeah. I mean, that's the other thing you could look at. The league's going to reward you with a chance not to blow another game. I mean, that's to me the bigger issue. And you know, I didn't watch the entire game, but I watched probably late third quarter on. And my wife was annoyed. My wife doesn't understand why I need to watch games that aren't close.
Yeah,
which I get. I mean, I
Well, no lead is safe with the Rockets.
That's so true. But I'm talking about when I turned that game on, I want to say there was, it was maybe a 15 to 17 point game.
Yeah.
She was like, why are we watching this? And I was like, well, the truth is I was watching to see how many shots Russell Westbrook would take. That was my, because I wanted to troll Russell Westbrook, which, by the way, this is a rare feat, what he accomplished. This is, Russell Westbrook is the sixth player now to, with the amount of shots he took to not, to 30 shots to not break 20 points. Sixth player in the history, well, since the merger, ABA-NBA merger.
Is that good?
I don't know.
Neither.
7 of 30. And Jason Braddock and I kind of had some discussion about this the other day. And I get the analytics say that it's the right thing to do. I'll never for the life of me understand how James Harden wouldn't be a more efficient player if he shot significantly less three-pointers. The guy was 4 of 20 last night from 3.
Carry the one. That's not good.
He is, at best, an average three-point shooter.
I think that's fair. When you look at his numbers year in, year out, he's pretty much an average three-point shooter.
Yet he shoots significantly more three-pointers than anyone else in the league. Does that make sense?
Well, if you're going to be an average shooter from three versus an average shooter from long two, yes, it does make sense.
But why not long? I mean, where does Harden get most of his points anyway? Driving the ball and getting fouled.
Yeah.
Do that all the time.
No, at some point, though, they'll just drop back on you. You've got to be able to do more than just that.
Well, I would say missing 16 threes in a game can't be helpful.
Well, and that's something you just have to live with him, because he's going to have games like that, and he's not going to stop shooting them.
He's not.
And then he's going to have games where he hits them all and scores 60 points in three quarters.
Well, he scored 50 last night and got 24 of 24 from the line, which is, I was reading something. I think it's a record for most free throws made without a miss in a game. I might be wrong. I think I read that's the all-time record. So, that's impressive, certainly. And 50 point, when you can score 50 points on 38 shots, I mean,
that's
great, right? No. Okay. It's just it's frustrating. And they were, those guys just, when you look at combined 18 of 68 and 5 of 26 from three, it's very head scratching. And it doesn't bother you when you win.
Right.
But when you lose a game like that, it's like, dude, you drive one of those 3-point attempts, you drive in and get contact, you get two free throws, and you probably win the game. You know? So again, it's something that frustrates me way more when they lose than when they win, but it was pretty bad last night.
Yeah, it was. They should have played smarter down the stretch too, and I think that's part of it, but yeah, and as far as the dunk goes, it was a blown call. There's no question about it.
Absolutely.
They should have let it be reviewed. There's no doubt about whether or not, you know, it went in or not. It's just they blew it. So what do you do? It's like it's not like you can get in that DeLorean and go back and change time. So I would think that, you know, they'll just say, hey, we were wrong, which is what they do with that last 2-minute report anyway. And they'll
offer an apology.
Yeah, sorry.
And apologies don't. There's no column in the standings for apologized losses. It's not going to change.
They should make that a third one.
Maybe so.
It's like in hockey where you have the overtime point.
Hockey changed it. Maybe that's the move.
Yeah, put that little one in that last, instead of a loss, you give them a tie. JF288 says the exact reason people have a problem with this franchise: when you blow a 20-point lead, you come off as soft bitching about one call.
That is the problem.
Yeah,
and it's basically they're hoping that you'll forget that they blew that lead because they had a call go against them. It just doesn't work that way. And I mean, because it seems like the easiest call to make.
Yeah,
and it seems like a very easy call to review. So I can't explain that. But I mean, I also can't explain blowing that lead either. So, I don't know.
Well,
it's hard to me. I can't feel bad for you over one play if you blow a lead like that. I just can't.
Yeah, I agree. There's really no excuse for it. And that's the thing. Everybody's focusing on the basket instead of, boy, you guys choked that away.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's, and there's no reason to go play another 7 minutes in this, in an 82 game season. It's just pointless. These games are almost meaningless anyway because there's too many of them.
I mean, honestly, the Rockets, you're going to go back to San Antonio to play 7 minutes?
Yeah, that just makes no sense to me.
There's no world that makes sense.
No, and what do? The next time they go, you play an extra 7 minutes to determine the, come on. So, and it does sound, this one thing about the Rockets, they are pretty whiny about stuff. And this is another one where you look at it and you go, boy, really? You're going to whine about this?
It reminds me of...
It's like, remember when they put the report together about all the calls that should have gone their way against the Warriors? I mean, they're a whiny little group over there.
It reminds me a little bit of the Coach K move the other day.
Yeah.
Well, I know we lost, but I you know what? I was under the weather all day, and I think that really affected the way we played. Oh, okay. What position were you playing, Coach?
Yeah, it's been a rough week for them to win Whiner of the Week, but that's a contender to complain about this. But it's going to be hard to beat Coach K. Dabo's whining this week was pretty bad. Nobody wants us in.
Yeah.
Bull bleep.
But you know what? You know who else is whiny? The two teams that I've heard beat their chest all year, they're the best team, LSU fan and Ohio State fan. Suddenly, they're both scared to be the two seed. Like, if you're the best team, who are you worried about? Why are you worried about who you're playing? Yeah, you don't care, right?
That's the thing. If you're
the best, why are you worried? Nobody wants to play Clemson.
Well, if I'm either one of those teams, it's going to play out how it's going to play out. So what if you have to beat Clemson and Ohio State, LSU fan? That means you're the best team in the country.
Yeah.
And you earned it.
Ohio State won that thing from the four seed before.
Yeah.
I want that. The best team, you should have to play the other two best teams if you want to win. I hope that happens.
I mean, that's the thing. You're going to have to beat one of them anyway. If you're that good, if you're good enough to beat one, you should be good enough to beat them both.
I'll be honest. If somebody beats Clemson in the first round, my guess is they are favored in the championship game.
Oh, yeah. I think so.
Whichever one of them does it.
Yeah.
And if one of them does it.
Yeah, I want to get to the rankings here when we come back because we talked about it a little bit yesterday as they were going on. But you want to talk about a rigged game. I mean, they have set this thing up to basically put whoever they want in there without and be able to justify it. We'll talk about it when we come back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. What are the odds Wednesday?
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
I would describe it as that's the area where there was the most vigorous debate this week. We spent more times on those teams than anybody else on the board. So that right there tells you that there's a lot of conversation amongst the committee about those teams. Well,
which teams is he talking about?
The five seed.
Oh, okay.
He's talking about going from 4, 5, and 6, and 7.
Utah, Oklahoma, I'm guessing, is what he's talking. I mean, honestly, that's where there should be the most discussion.
Right.
Because, to me, the top four, as of right now, the top four are firmly where they're supposed to be. What we do know is, if Georgia loses, they would fall out of that top four.
Right, right. I think anybody else loses, I think they're fine. Even Clemson, but Clemson's not going to lose.
Clemson can't lose.
Not to Virginia.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
But I do think that if Georgia loses that 5-6 spot, that's where you should be spending your time. I mean, that's the most important decision that you're going to make because the other three are basically writing themselves in. And honestly, the best thing the committee could have happen to them is Georgia beats LSU. And now you've got no decision to make.
Right, right. It's easy, and LSU's the four, Georgia's a three. There you go.
And it sucks for Utah. It sucks for Oklahoma or Baylor, whoever wins that. But those other four teams are better than them. So, I mean, if Georgia beats LSU, they're more deserving. Sorry.
I like
Utah. I've been caping for Utah. But Georgia's schedule, if they beat – and Georgia's got a bad loss, no doubt. But if they beat LSU, to me, that there's not even a question. They'll have beat LSU and Auburn. That's two of the 10 best teams in the country.
And Florida, who's also
ninth. In the conversation.
Well, and that's kind of what I wanted to get to, because I saw some people tweeting about this today. And it's easy to, like, let's say you want to defend Ohio State. Well, okay, they've got three wins over the top 15. Well, that's because you have Michigan 14th in there. They really need to be 14th. And then Oregon, with their one loss, drops all the way to 13. So if Utah wins, you're going to say, well, their only win was over a team that was 13th, and then they'll wind up being like 21st or 22nd if they lose the game. It seems like they've just – and the worst, to me, the most egregious thing, and you can certainly make an argument that Baylor belongs 7, but they jumped them up 6 spots after they beat Texas 2 weeks ago. So now you're in a position where if Oklahoma wins and Utah wins and Georgia loses – you're going to be able to say, well, Oklahoma beat number 7. Utah only beat number 13. Let's put Oklahoma in there. Fair or not. And even it goes deeper than that, because they've even set it up to where they want Memphis or Cincinnati to get that New Year's 6 thing. They don't want Boise. Because basically Cincinnati is only one spot behind Boise. And if they beat Memphis, you can say, well, they beat the number 17 team. Even though they have 2 losses, we're going to put them ahead of Boise. Not a major thing on the scale, but it is kind of – it's a little chicken bleep. Because they're making the rankings, so they can then say, oh, well, but they beat this team, and use that as an argument.
Well, I've always said during, you know, the first few weeks that they release these polls, they can do what they want, because it doesn't really matter. Basically, all they're doing is stirring up conversation, because eventually it will all – most of it will play itself out. And now we're getting to the part where they actually may need to make some decisions. And now what they do matters. So now it becomes frustrating. Seeing the stuff that they were doing earlier in the year, it's not, I mean, whatever.
Yeah, who cares? Like when they had Clemson 5th, big deal.
Yeah. But I guess, yeah, there's a couple ways to look at that Boise situation, because it does look like they're set up for where a one-loss or a two-loss Cincinnati could jump them. Again, I don't think Cincinnati's beating Memphis, but if they do...
Yeah, but if they do, they're going to be set up here. And I think Memphis wins that game. I do think Cincinnati might cover, but I think Memphis wins and it won't matter. But it's almost like they've set themselves up to where they can justify making moves like that. So, and you can tell they don't want Utah in there. They really don't. And I think they've got it set up at the top. And that's the other thing, too, is like Penn State is still ranked 10th. And
would Appalachian State be in that conversation if they were undefeated? Because they've got one loss and they're a spot behind Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Would Appalachian be ranked ahead of Memphis if they were undefeated?
Probably.
Because, I mean, the Sun Belt sucks.
Yeah, but they don't want a Sun Belt team.
I don't think they do either. And App State's one loss is to Georgia Southern on a slop field. But, I mean, I'm with you. I don't think they want that to happen. They're not looking for a Sun Belt team.
But that's the thing. They can manipulate this if they want to. And that's kind of what they're doing. And
because now you look at it, let's say Boise loses and Memphis loses. Now the only group of five team that's 12-1 is App State.
Yep.
But guess what? Cincinnati's ranked ahead of them already, and they'll have beat Memphis. So why wouldn't they stay ahead?
That's right. You can't do that.
Yeah, it's
which and honestly,
I think, well, I would say 2-loss Cincinnati's better than 1-loss App State. But if you've seen Cincinnati play the last several weeks,
over the last month, they have not.
You
been
wonder
the same
what's
team.
Going on.
Well, their quarterback's been hurt too, which has been a big part of it. But yeah,
it is odd the way that they're basically setting it up to do it the way they want to do it.
Yeah, and justify it by
their
own rankings.
They're stacking
the deck. Yeah. And, you know, that's why I go back to when, you know, Alabama was still alive in this thing, and I kept trying to tell you that they were going to do everything they could to keep them there, because
Wait, are they not alive anymore?
No, they're not alive anymore. Thankfully, Auburn ended that for us. Oh, by the way, add Nick Saban to Whiner of the Week, too. That was unfair, that play. Yeah.
The long national nightmare is over.
And 713 says they're keeping Cincy in the top 20 to help out Ohio State. It's pretty obvious. I mean, but again,
that's possible, too.
That's possible. And I think all those Big Ten teams are a little bit overranked, but then that gives you the, you know, in your argument, you can say, here's why they're number one. They beat this, 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 and this. So I think, you know, in the end, I don't think it's going to matter. I have a sneaking suspicion that Georgia's going to win, and then that's going to be your four, and that's what be the four that you should have. But they've set themselves up.
Then it takes away all the conversation and all the
right
people, the wringing of hands, and, oh, who's left out now? I think even Utah and Oklahoma would realize that if Georgia wins, Georgia's resume is just better than theirs, right?
I think so.
The fans of those programs would have to look at it and go, yeah, you know what?
No, they won't. They won't look at it that way because they're fans. But you'd have a win over number two. You'd have a win over number nine. You beat number 15, Notre Dame.
Yeah.
So I mean,
I forgot about that Notre Dame win.
Yeah.
Yeah. Auburn, Florida, LSU, and Notre Dame. That's an undeniably better resume
than Utah or Oklahoma.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't think there's any doubt in that case, and I think that that's probably the four best teams. But I also think LSU could go in there and house them, and then you're going to have this argument. And but they're set up to whatever they do. Well, I know what they want to do. They want to put Oklahoma in there, which I'm kind of done with OU too.
I the same thing I said about Alabama fatigue. I think Oklahoma fatigue is a real thing.
I agree.
I think that this, like, especially Oklahoma, because they haven't been winning the thing. You know, Alabama, at least they go in and they win it when they're there. Like, Oklahoma just shows up and loses.
They lose in the first round.
Why do we give them a spot every year if they're never going to win?
Yeah, or you know, they get way behind and they make a run. Boy, there's the sad Peloton commercial again. I laugh at that every time I see it now. But yeah, but I think that this is going to be their justification. Oh, they beat number seven, Utah. Because you didn't have to drop Oregon that far. I mean, I could make a case for Oregon over at least a couple of teams ahead of them.
Well, the problem is Oregon lost to a crappy team with their backup quarterback.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to fight for Oregon at that point.
No, but I mean, it was just easy for them to totally drop them off the map.
And I'll be honest, looking at the two lost teams, I don't know that Oregon should be ranked ahead of any of them. Like, should they be ranked ahead of Penn State? I don't know.
I don't know. See, I don't think Penn State's...
Should they be ranked ahead of Wisconsin? I don't know.
I think I like Wisconsin. Not crazy about Penn State, but...
And Oregon's... That's another team, like Cincinnati, who down the stretch has faded. So yeah. the bloom is a little bit off of them. I mean, I'm looking at the teams ahead of Oregon, and probably the only team I would pick Oregon to beat on a neutral is Baylor.
Yeah, well, Baylor is... That's kind of the one outlier to all of those things.
Yeah.
Yeah, but... So wouldn't Georgia move up to number two with a win? I don't think they would be number two.
They'd move to number three. They'd be 3-4.
Yeah.
They would avoid an LSU-Georgia rematch. And, yeah, it'd be Georgia-Clemson and Ohio State-LSU.
Yeah.
Assuming Ohio State and Clemson hold serve.
Which I think there's no doubt on Clemson. Ohio State, especially with Fields a little banged up, that one might be a little bit different, but I don't anticipate them losing either.
I don't either. I think it's going to be difficult for them to cover.
Yeah, yeah. Although, boy, I'm not going to get in the habit of betting against those guys.
Nope. All right, guys. Shopping for electricity rates, it's not always fun. Triangle Energy knows that, and they wanted to make it easier for you. So here's what they did. They set up a process with no gimmicks and basically simple fixed rates, which means you're going to pay the same rate no matter how much or how little energy you use. No hidden fees, no surprises on your bill. In fact, you'll receive a weekly usage update, so you already have an estimate for your energy charges before your bill ever hits the mail. You can lock in your rate for 12, 24, or 36 months, so no surprises. And at Triangle, they keep it simple. The rate you see, that's the rate you pay, period. There's no minimum usage fees or charges for going over a certain amount of electricity. It's good, honest business from a good, honest, born-in-Texas company. And they've got a discount for our listeners. Simply use promo code ESPN when you sign up, and you'll save money off their already great rates. What are you waiting for, guys? Give them a call, 877-93-EAGLE, or go to TriEagleEnergy.com, TriEagleEnergy.com, promo code ESPN, PUCT number 10064.
to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz on What Are the Odds Wednesday. 713-780-3776. Lamont says, real talk, it seems like the college football playoff talk is forced at this point. Same bleep set on December 4th, seems like the same bleep set on November 4th. Doesn't feel forced to me because I'm interested in it. I just don't think you're that interested in it, Lamont. That's you've made that pretty clear that you don't care about the playoffs. So to me, I'm very interested in it and how they do the whole rankings. And they seem to love themselves some SEC and Big Ten, but don't we kind of think those are the two best conferences?
The SEC and the Big Ten?
Yeah.
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 They are.
But it also, you get a benefit of the doubt there a lot. But and somebody says, well, Baylor has better wins than Utah.
No, they don't.
I mean, what's Baylor's best win?
I mean, it's
at Okie State.
That's probably it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good win. They're 24th. But, I mean, now if they beat Oklahoma.
Again, I'm not even going to entertain Baylor fan. They played the worst non-conference schedule in the country. Not of Power 5 teams, the worst non-conference schedule in the country. They played an FCS school. They played UTSA, who, how many games did UTSA win?
Enough to fire their coach.
Four,
I think, maybe. Yeah.
And then they played Rice.
And they only beat Rice by a touchdown.
Yeah. The wins that you had early, Iowa State, Kansas State, by the time the season was over, it didn't look good. There were no good wins to be had in the Big 12 this year. That's like Clemson saying, oh, well, we got a good win. We beat Virginia Tech. That's not a good win. That's not like in the broad scale.
Right.
In the Big 12, okay, Iowa State's a pretty good win. I mean, Kansas State's a good win. But like when you're talking about comparing your season on the whole, on a broad spectrum, there are no, the only good win that Baylor could conceivably get is Oklahoma.
And yeah, Oklahoma State's ranked number 25, so that's their best win. They beat one top 25 team.
Okay.
And that's misleading because they're 25th. So.
But then they also almost lost to West Virginia. They almost lost to TCU. I mean, they almost lost to Texas Tech, who's downright awful.
And they got lucky to win that game because they got the benefit of a call. Although maybe they should go back and play that game again, like the Rockets.
Yeah, start it over.
So
yeah, I'm just the Baylor thing. I can't make an argument for them.
No,
they're not that good.
And people are trying to. Well, Kansas State was ranked. Well, they didn't finish ranked. They weren't that good.
Okay.
So, look, just go beat Oklahoma and hope that Georgia loses to LSU and Utah loses, and then you'll get in.
What I would say is if you look at who Baylor's beat, I don't know if any of their wins is better than at Washington, which is probably Utah's best win at this point. And then they're, you know.
And even USC is ranked, the team they lost to.
Yeah.
So it's not.
It's not a bad loss.
It's not a great loss.
I mean, it's not a great loss, but it's not a bad loss. I mean, honestly, when you look at the one-loss teams in this conversation, Utah's got the best loss. Because Georgia lost to South Carolina. That's a bad loss. Oklahoma lost to Kansas State. That's a bad loss. Well, I guess Baylor. Baylor has a better one loss.
Yeah, I think they probably have the best.
But, yeah, I just can't make an argument. Baylor doesn't have a win that I'm even impressed with, even remotely impressed with. And honestly, Baylor's second best or Utah's second best win might be Cal or at BYU. I think those are better wins than you're finding in the Big 12. And I'm not saying the Pac-12 is way better than the Big 12. I think they're pretty similar. I think that they've got two decent teams at the top, and then they've got a bunch of middle kind of so-so teams, but the middle so-so teams in the Pac-12, like Washington, USC, Cal, Arizona State, I'll take those over Iowa State, Oklahoma State, Texas. Like,
yeah,
I don't have anything good to say about those teams.
Strength of schedule, though, they're actually pretty close. Utah's 29th and Baylor's 33rd.
Okay.
So there's not that much of a difference.
Well, here's another difference then. Look at margin of victory in those games. If they're playing a similar schedule, look at the margin of victory for Utah. Now compare it to the margin of victory for Baylor.
Yeah, the only case I can make is that Baylor has a better loss.
That is the case to make.
And, you know, but are they going to beat Oklahoma?
Whatever the question is, I would bet my house that Utah would beat Baylor straight up. I wouldn't even blink. Like, they are... Utah's a better team than Baylor. There's zero doubt in my mind.
Well, when it comes down to tie-breaking, we always, what do we go to? Who would be favored on a neutral field? What does Vegas think?
Yeah.
And Utah would be favored, right? I think we looked that up the other day.
We did.
So he says, next year with games against Ole Miss and Louisiana Tech, Baylor's schedule problems go away. I don't know if they go away with Louisiana Tech, but they're clearly ahead of schedule.
I'm not saying they're not ahead of schedule, and I'm not saying they didn't do a good job this year. And I like Matt Rhule, but I'm also not going to pretend like they should be in the playoff.
But I also would say it's not their fault that they had that schedule. That was all Art Briles and what he used to do, and why they didn't get in before for that very reason.
But even whoever's fault it is, it doesn't really matter. It is what it is, right?
Yeah. So. And. Yeah, the problem is AJ is being ridiculous. None of those teams Utah beat are ranked. SOS is similar. Baylor better loss to OU. Well, that's your argument. They have a better loss. And
better loss.
A similar strength of schedule. But they're still...
But again, how'd they handle those schedules?
Yeah, and one team was pretty damn dominant, and the other one had a lot of close games.
Current line would be, on a neutral field, Utah minus 8.5. So this isn't just me. This is the market that sets these numbers believes that Utah is way better than Baylor. And honestly, if you really think Baylor would beat Utah on a football field right now, you're a Baylor fan. That's literally the only explanation.
You know what would be fun? If neither of them gets in and they would get to play each other in a bowl game. Except Utah would go to the Rose Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's too bad. Because I know who I'd bet on. But that's not to say Baylor hasn't had a terrific year, and Matt Rhule's done a great job. I love the guy. I think he's a fantastic coach, especially considering where they were.
Yeah, it's a good story that, I mean, that team basically had almost a death penalty, and Matt Rhule's brought them back to being a solid team. But a solid team just isn't enough to warrant the playoffs. And you know what? If they had they gone undefeated, had they held on to win that game against Oklahoma...
And then magically beat them a second time.
I mean, I guess they would deserve to get in, but you would probably hear me grumbling that, well, we're putting in a team that Georgia's better than this team that's being put in, and Utah's better than this team that's being put in, even unbeaten. They just, like I said, if you believe that they are one of the four best teams, you're a Baylor fan. That's the only
explanation. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, there's no way around it.
I'll listen to argument from Oklahoma fan. I think it's reasonable.
Yeah, they can make a case, and I don't think it's going to matter, because if it does come down to that, they will take Oklahoma over Utah, but I think they'll take Utah over Baylor.
That's not even a doubt.
Yeah, so and so I think the only way Baylor gets in is... beat Oklahoma, which I don't think they'll do. Utah loses to Oregon, which I don't think is going to happen. But and then Georgia loses.
And even then, is it guaranteed?
Well, I mean, who else are you putting in at that point? I mean, you can't jump somebody who's behind all those teams. I mean,
do you not drop Georgia past them?
Well, Georgia's going to have two losses.
Okay.
So
are we saying a two-loss Georgia isn't better than a one-loss Baylor?
At that point, they're not going to put Georgia in over Baylor.
Maybe not. I don't know. You're probably right.
So, yeah, I mean.
At that point, I would honestly just say, you know what, to hell with it. Auburn, you're the fourth team. I know you got three losses, but get in here, bro.
I think you, you just don't want to see Baylor in there, but that is their one path. That's the only way I see them getting in. And And the thing is, they'll have a win over the number six team, so they're not going to jump, you know, and I'm not going to leave Georgia ahead of them. So, yeah, because if they do that, then you have to make LSU number one, no doubt, right?
Yeah.
And I don't think they want to do that. All right, guys, guess what Texas Mattress Makers is doing? They are extending the Black Friday big sale specials at all three showrooms. 30% off select mattresses and giving you free delivery. And, guys, three locations to give you factory direct pricing, including the new Woodlands location off North I-45, exit Robinson Road. It's in front of the iFly. And, guys, you're already going to save 50% off of what you would spend in a retail store when you go to Texas Mattress Makers. So let's start with that. But they're going to keep the Black Friday special going 30% more. And the new Woodlands store is a perfect location to serve you guys in Spring, Conroe, the Woodlands. And, of course, there's the one in Katy, which is the second store in the original at Navigation and Lockwood, where the factory is. And, guys, they know everything about these beds because they make them and sell them directly to you. And now you can get 30% off select mattresses and free delivery. Visit them today, Katy, the East End, Woodlands, or online at TexasMattressMakers.com. Texas Mattress Makers is the best sleep at the best price guaranteed.
Put it on the triple beam. I'm not from Canada, but I see a lot of teams. Dismantle up, I know how to handle up. Light the candle up, make you put a banner up. Toss a 50 up, make them tie the club up. Took your bitch out the game, I had to sub up.
You're listening to The Blitz.
Hey guys, sports to you.
On ESPN 97.5.
Sports to you.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hey, if you're an Oiler fan, like Houston Oilers fans from 1979, we have a new audiobook.
That, almost born that year.
You were?
Yeah.
Not quite though. Which I was a kid. I remember it really well though. But the 79 team, the Love You Blue Oilers, there's a new audio book out that he's got interviews with all kinds of guys from that team. It's called Red, White, and Columbia Blue. And you can go check it out. There's a real easy way to get to it. Just go to Houston79.com and you can pick up the audio book by Jackson Michael. Lots of great interviews. Dan Pastorini, Elvin Bethea, Curly Culp, Robert Brazil, all these guys. And then there's a whole bunch of stuff on the Micro Info Play. There's a bunch of stuff about the Steelers from 79. So if you're a Steeler fan, you might enjoy it. And, of course, there's gift card options on the website if you want to do that. So if you're a fan, please check it out.
And Beast Move, who is a Baylor fan, is arguing about the, you know, I was saying teams that Utah beat were better, and they aren't. The rankings show that. The strength of schedule show that. They're in the same tier, and Baylor's loss is undoubtedly better. Actually, if we're going by like power ratings, like where they get those strength of schedules from, the best win that either one of them has is on the road at Washington. Because any team that Baylor beat that is considered a quality win was at home. So, and they get extra credit for winning on the road. So,
well, that Oklahoma State win was on the road.
Was it on the road?
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
Because I bet Oklahoma State with both hands. I remember that game very well.
The only team ranked ahead of – the only win, like as far as team-wise, the only team that is ranked ahead of Washington State, and it's by a half point, is Iowa State. And Iowa State was a home game for Baylor that they won by 2 points. So the highest rated of those wins is at Washington. Not that it's a great win. It's not.
No.
But
I mean, that's the thing. We're arguing about some really weak wins here.
What my point is, look at the way they both got a crappy schedule put in front of them. One of them handled their schedule the way you're supposed to handle a crappy schedule by dog stomping bad teams, and the other went to double overtime with Texas Tech.
In a game it never should have gotten that far. Right. Tech should have won. So, and you know, beat Rice by 7 points. I mean, those are the things they're going to look at. And I know Baylor fans are really going to – I know what you're going to focus on, but you can't sell me on it. You're not going to sell a committee. I hate to break it to you.
They played five overtime periods – against two teams that aren't bowl eligible. Think about that. TCU and Tech, neither of whom are going to a bowl. Five overtimes it took Baylor to beat both those teams. All right. I don't think the committee buys Baylor anymore than I do.
And part of the problem is, and I've said this all along, whether you like it or not, and I don't necessarily like it, but the name on the front of the jersey means as much as anything. It's that simple. And it's to get, you want the four best teams, but you want the four best teams that are going to get the best TV ratings. And basically, if it comes down to Utah or Baylor, they know nobody wants to see either one of those teams.
Yeah.
So they don't want those guys in there. That's why if Oklahoma wins, they have it set up for them to jump Utah.
What do you put the odds at, the chances that Oklahoma gets in over Utah if they both win?
I think if they both win, it's 90% Oklahoma.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because, again, they've set up.
I honestly think it's like 50-50, but, God, 90% is disheartening.
I'm not saying.
Do you think eye test will matter?
No.
If it's anything like the first Baylor-Oklahoma game where Oklahoma's getting the crap kicked out of them and has to come back and win?
I don't think it matters. No. Because, I I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying that's what I would do. I'm saying that's what the committee will do.
Another eye test question. Does it matter for Ohio State and LSU how much they win by this week?
No. I think, if LSU wins at all over Georgia, they're going to jump. They're going to jump.
So? Yeah. Okay.
I think Ohio State, unless they put a 59-0 licking on Wisconsin.
That's happened before.
Yeah, exactly. if that happens, maybe they leave them there because, you know, they have, again, they've manipulated these rankings where they can defend whatever they do.
Yeah.
It's kind of a, you know, it's an interesting game.
I mean, if Clemson wins by 40, I think they should make them number one. Just piss everybody off.
Somebody said, how pathetic is it Baylor died and hit the reset and they're already better than Texas?
Dude, it is impressive. And again, I think Matt Rhule is really good. And I like him a lot. I like what he's done with that program. I just also am fully aware that that team is, it's pretty mediocre. You know? They've luck boxed into an 11-1, which there's credit due there, certainly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to win 11 games in college football.
It really is.
Even with a crap schedule. And I think that's a credit to both Utah and Baylor.
But it's kind of the way we've talked about the Seahawks, and they're not as good as their record says because every coin flip's gone their way.
Yeah.
They beat Iowa State by 2. They beat Texas Tech by 3 in double overtime. They beat West Virginia by 3. They beat TCU by 6 in triple overtime. You know, it's just eventually.
And they were in trouble in that Rice game, too.
They were.
Let's not forget that. And Rice won all of 2 games. So, again, that's the stuff they're going to look at, and that's how they're going to justify it.
What I will say for Baylor is I thought they were going to sleepwalk last week against Kansas. And they went out and put a hammering on them, which they should have. So, I mean, Baylor's still fully aware that they need to impress people.
What are the odds if it was Texas on the name of the shirt instead of Baylor, they'd be ranked 5? I don't think they'd be ranked 5 because they would, if they had the same schedule, that would include a loss to OU. So OU would still be ahead of them. But I guarantee you we wouldn't be having this discussion if Texas beat OU.
Because whoever wins between Texas and OU would be in.
Yeah, even if
Utah wins, Texas or Oklahoma would get in over Utah.
And fair or not, that's life. That Texas, Oklahoma, and the Big 12 are always going to get more consideration than Baylor, TCU, anybody else.
Yeah,
that's just how it is, and it's the same thing in every conference. There's teams that if they're good, they're going to get a better look than Ohio State's going to get a better look than Michigan State would get. Like Ohio State could sneak into the 4 spot like they did a few years ago. Michigan State has to earn its way in.
Yeah.
And Michigan State's a pretty high-profile program. I would say Minnesota's probably the better comp because, you know, but that's the thing. I mean, it's...
But that's the other thing about Texas, and this is where I kind of credit them. They've changed up what they... Like, they used to play some crappy non-conference games, too. They've changed it to where they're pushing themselves damn near every season non-conference. Next year, they've got LSU again at LSU. I think in 2021, they might have it may be at Arkansas, which.
Well, who knows? Maybe Arkansas.
It's an old rivalry.
Maybe
game,
Arkansas's back by then.
I know they play. Then they've got a home and home with Alabama. Then they've got a home and home with Michigan, a home and home with Ohio State, a home and home with Georgia, a home and home with Florida, and a home and home with Arizona State. I mean, Texas, you're never gonna see Texas and say, oh, their best non-conference win was UTSA. That's not going to happen.
Well, like I said, I think Baylor's trying to fix that now, but it doesn't do any good for this year.
Yeah, it doesn't help them. And you could say, well, it's not our fault. I mean, that's life. Sometimes things out of your control affect you, and it sucks, but yeah, it is what it is.
Edith says, Fred, have you watched any of Rick and Morty season 4 yet? Yes, I've watched the first three episodes.
Of course he has.
And I freaked out this
week. Don't ask stupid questions.
I freaked out this week because I thought it didn't record, and there wasn't one this week for some reason. But they're back next week.
Because of the election.
Is that what it was?
I don't know.
I have no idea what it was. But the next one is called Rick and Morty Gets a Dragon, or Morty Gets a Dragon. So I'm looking forward to that.
All right. Pro Dunk Hoops. And, dude, this is one of the best things I've gotten done at my house. I mean, my kids they went from taking up the TVs and video games. Guess what they're doing now? They're playing outside. They're hooping their little butts off because the Pro Dunk Hoops goal, I mean, it is a game changer. It's not some rickety goal that's going to last a year or two. This is a nice quality goal that you could tell is built to last. It's got a rust armor finish. There's going to be no rust. It's got a tempered glass backboard. Hoops guaranteed me if it breaks or cracks for any reason, they're going to come out and replace it. And it's got the thickest steel of any goal on the market. And it is really, really nice. They've got a design to fit your home, your driveway, your backyard. They've got a fully portable version now. They've got all the accessories that you need, whether it's the court marking stencils. They've got a net that'll kick the ball back to you. Guys, check them out. See it all. ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com. 281-351-9822 for Pro Dunk Hoops.
Seven five.